Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been an eventful past couple of days. I know we celebrated the feast of St. Joseph on Friday. We had a beautiful mass for that here, well attended, etc. So it was a great way to honor the patron of the Catholic Church and the patron of our diocese. And then yesterday I was in Charleston for a vocations retreat as a vocation director. We had 17 men on this retreat. So if you remember, please keep in prayer these 17 men who are discerning their vocation, right? We need more men for this diocese to serve as priests, and so if it be the Lord's will, I'm hoping some of these men will apply to the diocese for this fall. So each year, each New Year's Eve, people make resolutions to change how they're going to live that upcoming year, right? Gyms, as we know, all of a sudden become packed, much to the annoyance of the regular gym goers. Thankfully, this only lasts, right, for about a week, and then people are back to their normal lives, having already given up on some of their resolutions. Yet, the resolutions are interesting because they show that many people want something more out of life. They want, in a way, to start over and to live better, a desire that comes from deep within their hearts. As we approach Easter, the readings for this Sunday all focus on the resurrection of the dead. In the Gospel this morning, we heard the famous story of the raising of Lazarus. Being the Son of God, Christ revealed that he had had authority over death, yet at the same time being fully human. I mean, after all, he wept at the tomb of Lazarus, experiencing the pangs of loss that all of us experience in life. His Sacred Heart felt compassion and mercy from Martha and Mary at the death of their brother. He was truly one of us, Emmanuel, God with us. Yet, if you noticed, he also explained to Martha that natural death was not the end of all things, that there was a reason to hope. Christ, in a beautiful manner, explained that he was the resurrection and the life. Whoever had faith in him, therefore, would have eternal life in heaven and not live simply an earthly life. That this life was not all there was, that there was something much better. Therefore, the reason why he'd raise Lazarus from the dead would be to teach people to put their faith in him, for them to recognize that he was God Almighty, who had come to save them from their sins and lead them to paradise. In his human nature, Christ showed that death was a difficult reality, and he sympathized with us. Yet he wanted to give those around him hope, because for those who loved God, natural death was not something to be feared in this life. It was not the end, but in a way, only the beginning. Now for us here, 2,000 years later, Christ no longer physically walks this earth as he once did. Therefore, under normal circumstances, you know, we don't see those who are physically dead usually come back to life. And just as Christ did with Lazarus, we still grapple with death in general. And we always will, because it's a consequence of sin. Yet in our own day, because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we have the gift of spiritual life through the grace of the sacraments. You see, this story of Lazarus, like the other Gospels during Lent, if you haven't picked up, is presented as an allusion to the sacrament of baptism, in which a person who is spiritually dead is raised to new life in Christ. A person to be baptized is dead because he is born with the effects of original sin, with a ruptured relationship with his Creator. Yet through baptism, a person is spiritually born again, and that ruptured relationship is restored. That person is made a child of God. Though baptism washes away the effects of original sin, it does not remove sin and temptation from our lives, however. As members of the Church of God, we are now called to live up to the baptismal promises that we or our parents made for us on our baptismal day, to reject sin and Satan. Yet, I don't know about you, but I sin every day. Right? St. Paul would describe it as, I do the very things I hate. Christ gave us the freedom to choose either to live as his sons and daughters or not, to be able to reject him through our actions, if we so desired. When we sin, we always hurt our relationship with God. But if we sin seriously, we lose the life of God within us that we were once graced with at baptism. For just as a physical body actually ceases to retain its principle of life at death, so the soul can supernaturally cease to live when we commit a serious or mortal sin. It becomes spiritually dead because it no longer is united to God as it had been since baptism. A person in the state of mortal sin has freely chosen to be in hell if he or she dies before repenting. Now, as I mentioned before, Pope St. John Paul II, early on in his pontificate, lamented the fact that many people had lost a sense of sin in their lives. Meaning, though we sin all the time, we might just not care. In other words, we don't even recognize sinful actions as sinful. It's just not on our purview anymore. Yet as Pope John Paul II said, sin is an integral part of the truth about the human person. To recognize oneself as a sinner is the first and essential step in returning to the healing love of God. In the beginning of his pontificate, during an interview, Pope Francis was asked to describe who he was. His response, a sinner whom the Lord looked upon with mercy. Okay, so you might be wondering, why is Father focusing so much on sin this morning? Well, because it's only by acknowledging our sin that we can encounter the merciful love of our Father, the merciful and healing love of Christ, that we can find meaning in our lives. We are not meant to focus on our sins, but to strive to abandon and combat the very sins we frequently commit. When we fight sin in our lives, we're able to be free from the drama, the mediocrity, and the misery that our sins cause us. By fighting our sins, we can realize that we are not the sum total of our weaknesses and failures, but the sum total of a Father's love for us, and are capable of becoming a living image of his Son in this life. And the ordinary way that Christ has provided for us to admit our sinfulness and receive his help to fight it is through the sacraments, particularly the sacrament of penance. Yet this sacrament is not used as often as it should be by all of us. That's why I talk about it so frequently. You know, oftentimes we're embarrassed to talk about our sins to someone, sure. Or perhaps it's because we haven't been for a long time and don't remember how to go. Or rather, it's just simply not a habit. No matter the reason, if we do not receive God's mercy in the sacrament of confession, we'll most likely only remain in the spiritual mediocrity in which we live, or even remain spiritually dead, cut off from heavenly glory one day. You see, just as Lazarus was raised from physical death to life, through the sacrament of penance, Christ raises us from spiritual death to life. That is why, as I've mentioned in previous homilies, the sacrament of penance has been called a second baptism, because of the new life we regain once we confess any serious sins and are restored to our relationship with Christ and his church. Now, this morning we celebrate the fifth Sunday of Lent and enter into the time period that is classically known as Passiontide, which encompasses the last 2 weeks leading up to Christ's passion and death. Now, as you all have noticed, all of the religious images and statues have been veiled. And I know it looks somewhat odd, right? Though optional, the church officially recommends this ancient practice as a way of focusing more on Christ's approaching passion. The veiled images and statues remind us in a visual way that our faith, in all its glory, is made possible only through the work of Christ and his suffering and death on the cross. When we cover these holy and sacred images of heavenly things that we're so accustomed to seeing, we are starkly confronted and reminded in a poignant way of all that Christ has won for us. The privilege of being a saint in heaven is because of the cross. Temporarily veiling the crosses and religious images in the penitential color of Lent is a beautiful custom that helps us to reflect on the deeper meaning of the liturgical season. In covering all the images, all attention is centered on the passion and death of our Lord that is approaching. And that is why the only images that are not covered are the stations of the cross. Yet, just as the church asks us visually to focus on the coming of the passion of our Lord by removing what might draw us away from focusing on death, so too should we do so in our spiritual lives as well. Now that we've passed Laetare Sunday, we're in the final weeks of Lent. We're nearing the end. It's the home stretch. The veiling reminds us that Holy Week is approaching. It's literally next week. Holy Week is the holiest of weeks in the year. In it is the sacred Triduum, Holy Thursday evening, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Day, the celebration of Christ's last hours and death on earth. Passiontide, with the veiling of the images, should motivate us not to continue in any spiritual laziness, but to step up our A game, per se. In other words, as we approach Holy Week, we are called to go the extra mile and dive into Lent even more. Therefore, now is the time to examine our consciences and actually focus more on our spiritual lives in the midst of the busyness of life, to return to the sacrament of mercy before Easter, or if we've been recently, to make it a more frequent occurrence in our lives. The confession times are in the bulletin, or you can always make a private appointment. And this Wednesday, as I remind you at the end of Mass, we have a special hour of confessions available for Lent at 6:30 p.m. And you can pick up an examination of conscience pamphlet in the vestibule today after Mass to help you prepare. But each time we go to confession, it's like a spiritual New Year's resolution where we commit to starting over and living a better life. But different from going to the gym, we actually have the spiritual aid of God to fulfill the resolution of fighting sin in our lives. Sure, it'll be difficult at first to acknowledge our sinfulness, but God will be there to help you. And then you will be transformed. You know, there is an ancient tradition that after Lazarus was given back his life, he would go on to become a bishop of the church and eventually would be martyred for the faith. He was not only given his life back by Christ, but was given a new life, which he offered up completely back to his God. So too are we given a new life in the sacrament of penance and emerge, ready to give back ourselves to Christ in a new way. We as Catholics have such a great gift in this sacrament, and we don't even use it. Through the bestowal of mercy in the sacrament, the tomb of our sinfulness is opened, and we, like the Lazarus of old, emerge a new person, ready to give of our lives and minister to those family and friends who are far from the mercy of God, ready to start life again. In our day-to-day lives, we can choose to focus simply on our physical lives that are going to end no matter what. Or we can choose to focus on our spiritual life, which is far more important. What is holding us back from encountering our sinfulness this Lent and beginning our lives anew?